recorded. Today is Wednesday, May 8th, 1991. The time is right on time, 8:29. We have a quorum present with Representatives Choquette, Bruckman, Baker, and Cabina. Today we'll be hearing House Bill 288 relating to giving of cash by public officers, House Bill 245 relating to state procurement, House Bill 300 relating to appropriation of study privatizing state services. We may bring up some confirmation reports on Mr. Anderson for Public Officers Commission, Mr. Keller, and then again we may not. And my intention is to bury these bills deep within subcommittee today. Let's do 245 first. Is that the best one to start with? Yeah. House Bill 245. An act relating to publications produced by state agencies into the procurement of property, property interests, and services, including the services of employees by certain public entities, by Representative Choquette and all. Just about everybody in there. Their mother is on this as co-sponsors. Representative Bruckman is conspicuous by her absence. Representative Choquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Cabina. 245 is a make it a lasting bill that deals with ways that we do what we can to promote Alaskan goods, the utilization of Alaskan goods and services, and make it a situation that allows them every fair opportunity to do the work. It does this by obliging procurement officers in each government agency to provide Alaskan suppliers and providers of services desiring to compete for state contracts or work with sufficient notice when the agency is procuring a service or a good that they are capable of providing, requiring the procurement officers to add the amount of each bid of the administrative costs. This identifies all the costs before you determine the low bidder. Basically, just in response to some problems we've had by which administrative costs brought the low bid actually higher than the next bid would have been. Providing the state agencies must first provide notice inside the state for construction contracts, procurement orders, and employees, advertising Alaska first before they go outside. Allowing procurement officers to structure a purchase order so the Alaskan bidders are capable of competing for the work. This, in cases where we find there's no Alaskan bidders that can complete the project because of its size or its design, we're asking to take a look at maybe splitting the contract instead of a $10 million contract into two $5 million contracts, or looking at the design and seeing if it can be restructured or designed in such a way to foster allowing Alaskan companies to bid on the project. It requires that all state publications be printed within Alaska when practicable. The bidder shall inform state agencies on how they intend to use local goods and services for the performance of the contracts, and amending the subcontractor section of the procurement code to require apparent low bidders and offers to identify the subcontractors they plan on utilizing for the contract, and requiring these subcontractors to have a valid Alaskan registration, if applicable. I have a final two amendments, Mr. Chairman, offered by myself, that bring all of the administration and the private sector into agreeance with this bill. Amendment one, or number one, on page 5, line 5, following the word offers, simply adds that if it is anticipated that two or more Alaskan bidders would be capable of performing the procurement, this section does not apply. Page 5, line 5, Betty. That section that we're talking about is looking at, the need to look at the design or reduce the contract in order that Alaskans can be afforded the opportunity to bid on the work. Should this, obviously, this explains it more in depth. Obviously, if there's two or more Alaskan bidders bidding on the project, there's no need to reduce or change the design, or split up the contract. And amendment number two, it's on page 4, line 27. And this was brought to my attention by Joan Knuckles of my staff and the university, Wendy. Joan, would you explain amendment number two, please?
Certainly.
You can just...
Amendment number two...
Just state your name and...
Oh, certainly. My name is Joan Knuckles, legislative staff to Representative Choquette. Amendment number two addresses exemptions from the call that Alaskans, all Alaskans capable of providing a service, which an agency procuring received notice first. Basically, it says that this section will not apply in cases where emergency procurements are being made, where there is only one sole source for that procurement, where it's a small procurement, that is something a purchase under $5,000, and for limited procurements, in which the state already knows that there are only two or three vendors capable of providing the service, so they limit providing notice to those people. And that's the essence of the amendment.
I would move both amendments, Mr. Chairman. And ask for unanimous consent.
Well, before we do the amendments, is there what you hear about the bill?
I have one question. On the court system issue,
mm-hmm.
has that been resolved?
Yes.
Yes.
We'll have the governor's office is coming down today with a uniform, I don't know what they call it, a three-tier position paper that involves all the departments that strongly supports the bill.
Hmm?
Oh, it's here. Oh, Mr. Link had it. Good.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Link, would you join us, please?
My name is Bob Link. I'm the director of the Division of General Services. The administration and the sponsor spent a long time working on this bill, so we're just trying to coordinate the directions of both and the concerns, or the directions desired by the sponsor and the concerns of the agencies who would operate under the bill. And we think that if the last two amendments proposed by the sponsor are accepted, the Department of Transportation, Commerce, and the administration would enthusiastically support the bill.
Representative Brickman, any questions?
On page 2, section 2, line 21, it says within 3 working days. And it goes on to explain that each subcontract is required to be registered at the time that it is open. I have some concerns that subcontractors may lower their price within those days. In other words, I don't know why it isn't just one day or sooner than 3. And I also have a concern that they have to be registered with a valid Alaska business license in order to answer the bill, plus that paragraph or section. At the time the bid is opened, I would think that they should have valid Alaska business licenses at the time they put in the bid. Or, in other words, to protect that these really truly are Alaskans, not someone who just jumped right in and signed it real quick. When the bid is open, it's many days after the process began.
Mr. Chairman, unfortunately, Eddie, that's the reason we put this in there. They don't have to have valid business license.
Right.
And the reason for this species, the reason for this section is to take a look at who the contractor is going to use to fulfill the subcontract.
Right. It's usually very important. Mm-hmm. Right.
And we can then see just how much they're supporting local mm-hmm. subcontractors. Mm-hmm.
I see that I applaud your attempt here. It's just that I'm not sure it really worked that well, since someone could really, it's really easy to get a business license. You only go down and write the check and you've got it. lines aren't very long, and that's my, I prefer to see that they would have to have a business license at the time they put in the bid, even though, again, that may not prohibit folks from doing it. And also the 3 days, I have heard of times where this could be lowered when they've got time to.
I think, Mr. Chairman, I think that within 3 days they have to submit evidence mm-hmm. of a valid Alaska contractor's business license. And that, understanding that Mr. Link, you can maybe help me on this, they do have to have a business license, is that correct? Under the statute, so within 3 days they have to submit evidence of that.
Okay, I understood, within 3 working days after the identification of the low bidder, the apparent low bidder should submit a list of subcontractors. In other words, the major contractor, the low bidder, the contractor submits a list of the low bidders within 3 days. In other words, that contractor has days to get their low.
Well, that's
in my prior experience, when you issue a contract, I prefer knowing who the subcontractors are up front. In other words, not pick a contractor and leave it up to them to submit a list of low bidders. It doesn't give control at all. And subcontractors make the difference in a project. In other words, I would prefer seeing the low bidder have their subs in place at the time of the award. That would help determine who would get the award when you're looking at quality of product.
That's a far-reaching problem, Representative. I know in my work with the private sector, as a general contractor, the subcontractors have their own world out there. Basically, this Macon Alaska bill, what we're trying to do is establish the criteria which allows us to do what we can do under the law in terms of trying to keep our money spread out locally.
I would offer an amendment, or I would move that on line 21, page 2, the number 3 be changed to 1.
Well, your timing there.
Wherever else it would be appropriate.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask Joan to respond to that, please.
Certainly. Through the chair, Representative Bruckman. When the 5 working day figure was originally put into the bill 2 years ago, it was an enormous controversy between general contractors in the state. It felt that 5 days wasn't a sufficient time. There was debate between, you know, making that a 10-day working period. This reduction to 3 days is a result of an amendment offered in Labor and Commerce by Representative Donnelly. It will reduce the chance of shopping around. If we go to 1 day, I just think it will cause enormous controversy for the bill. 3 days is already a reduction in time that general contractors may not be in favor of.
Or be able to meet. In other words, I think what you're saying is when they put these bids together, they probably don't have a contract with the subcontractor at that point, but they've got that lined up who they probably like to have or who they want or who they work with and stuff. But
that's correct, Mr. Chairman, and there does have to be some element of time there.
Well, the element of time is when the notice is posted that there will be a bid, you know, the project is. And I think the contractor can't have their act together, know who they want as subs and plan to have as subs, then I question their ability to complete the project in the way that you want it.
I'm amazed that they could do it in 5 days, to be honest with you.
Oh.
I understand the reason. I mean, it definitely
purpose of this bill
shopping around down the lower 48 after they've got it.
What is the period of time after the notice is given or the bid will be open?
Ms. Blank.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
two separate questions here. One is the time from after you give notice that you're going to have a bid.
Mm-hmm.
That's a minimum of 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you give notice of the apparent low bidder, then the apparent low bidder has to arrange, has that 5 days now, and this bill would change it to 3 days, to get their contracts signed up with their subcontractors. I haven't worked in the construction business for quite a few years, but I know that when we put together construction bids, We were getting prices on the last days, and in some cases, doing some ballpark efforts at estimating what we thought we could get subcontractor prices, and did not know who our subcontractors were going to be in the construction business the time we issued, we submitted our bid. This would give, from the time of notice, the construction firms an abbreviated time to go back to those contractors and negotiate a price, the subcontractors. This amendment is probably addresses a different area of concern than just the balance of the bill. I think this is probably aimed at what the clerk was bid shopping.
Yes.
Rather than the more Bielesque effort is the rest of the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman. That's exactly correct. What we're trying to establish here is a make it a lasting piece of legislation. I can fully appreciate Representative Buckland's concerns. We've seen them in the private sector.
It's undercutting.
And it just comes under not the intention of this bill to address that concern, but rather address an identification process that the state can use to determine if the contractor is being somewhat responsive in terms of where he's going to spend his money.
Has anybody been opposed to this in labor and commerce?
No, sir.
Did any groups come out? Anybody?
We, as Mr. Link suggested, we spent a lot of hours working with Wendy and the university, with transportation, with the Department of Administration and the Department of Commerce, cleaning up and satisfying all the concerns. And as of the acceptance of these two amendments, those concerns will be met.
Can I have an amendment, please?
Mr. Chairman, what governmental agency do you have?
Sweet one.
Representative Bruckman, do you still want to make a formal motion?
I would. Yes.
Would you restate it then?
I would change the word 3-1 on page 2.
There is a motion to amend line 21, page 2, the 3-1. Is there objection?
Okay.
There is objection to the motion. Representative Beckman?
Again, I fear an undercutting of the price being lowered within those days. It was not an honest bid and left as is, but
I think I disagree with you.
I see that the committee has. Well, how about another amendment then?
Well, we have an amendment, official amendment before us right now. I mean, if you want to push it to a vote, it just doesn't seem like it's workable what you want to do. It's just going to make it really harder on our own people rather than. What do you want to do?
Well, it's lost already, and I said the vote's already lost. But I would move, Mr. Chairman, that.
Do you want to withdraw that motion?
Oh, I would withdraw it.
All right, that amendment is withdrawn.
Okay, and if I could make another one, that each subcontractor would be required to have a valid Alaska business license at the time they put in their bid, at the time of submission of bid.
I believe that's law already, Representative. Mr. Link could address that.
Mr. Link?
The subcontractors.
It states, the bill seems to say that they're required to have a valid Alaska business license at the time of opening the bid, which gives them many days after submission.
It says the time the bid was opened.
Right.
On page 4.
On page 4, yeah, under A, new language. line 10 at the time the proposal was opened.
It's line 12, Vinny.
So your amendment would say if a subcontractor on the list did not have a valid Alaska business license at the time the bid was submitted,
correct,
rather than proposal was opened?
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, I think open would be, if you're going to submit the bid, you're going to have a business license. If you submit it or by the time it's open, I would not see any reason for that amendment, because you're submitting the bid. We submit bids in the private sector sometimes 45 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes before the bid is open. The assumption that we don't have a business license between the time we submit the bid versus the time we open the bid would not be. You're going to have your business, if it's law, you're going to have your business license prior to the time the bid is open.
Mr. Link, comments?
I wasn't ready to think about this one, but the only comment is the time set for opening is a time certain. That is a time set, it's written on a piece of paper, it's set up somewhere. The time for submittal is a variation between the time Representative Choquette mentioned about possibly 20 minutes before the bid opening to conceivably a couple of weeks before the bid opening, and we wouldn't necessarily know when the bid was submitted. It could be dropped in by hand, it could be mailed in, so we'd have a sort of a big time determining when they had to have the bidder's license.
And you wouldn't know anyways because those bids would stay sealed until that certain time. So what you're talking about is when you open that bid at a certain time, everybody would be on the same timeline, the same frame.
Yeah.
You don't stamp the date
There's legislation in now that extends the local dry dock preference, where we have to have our ferry serviced in Ketchikan, as it turns out. And that's been quite a boost to the arm for the Ketchikan economy. It's not entirely without controversy, though. The bill we passed a few years ago on that had a sunset date that will have to be extended, and there's legislation in to extend that. It's in line with the policy of this bill, which I strongly support. And I'm wondering if you have a position on whether the state should continue to require the maintenance be done on the ferry system in Alaska as opposed to outside. It needs a lot of money to catch a can.
Mr. Chairman, I don't get involved with the ferry maintenance. I think the legislation says we do not have to issue a bid if we're going to have ferry maintenance done at a facility located in state. And I think that we have a representative from DOT here may be able to address the ferry system.
I don't think that's true because we got two facilities now. Is that true?
Pardon? I didn't hear that.
Do they have to submit a bid on ferries if they're done in-state?
Yes.
That's a bid.
Are you from the public sector?
Yes, I am, but I don't represent Marine Highways. Jim Ayers would have to speak to that. He would have a concern with what you're talking about.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I would ask that we address the two amendments I have on this bill.
I agree, but we do have a motion on the table. Representative Buckman, what's your intentions? Motion is withdrawn.
Mr. Chairman,
we have two motions, two amendments. The first one would be.
We just talked to drafting, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number one, after the word on page 5, line 5, following offers, we would have a new subsection, subsection C. If it is anticipated that two or more Alaskan bidders would not be capable of performing that procurement, or would be capable of performing the procurement, this section does not apply, and then move the other section C down to make it section D. And I would ask for unanimous consent.
For both of them as right. One amendment?
Yes.
Are there objections to the amendments? We went over these amendments.
I'm sorry.
We'll wait a few minutes. We have about seven.
Very, very quickly, Representative, the amendments talk about emergency services, stuff that doesn't apply. In the
I thought this was on the sign of good doing. I don't have a problem.
Are there any objections to the amendments? There are no objections. The amendments are. There's further discussion on the bill.
No, Mr. Chairman.
We have a CS before us, Rip Sam Moyer.
Yes.
I don't like the sponsor moving his own bill without committing his school.
What?
Well, I just got here.
Rip Sam Breckman.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move to pass this on to committee with individual recommendations.
There is a motion to move CS for House Bill 245 as amended. Are there objections? Hearing them, 245 is moved from the committee with individual recommendations as amended. And then we have 300s. House Bill 300, an act making a special appropriation to the Alaska Legislative Council for a study to determine which goods and services provided by state agencies can be provided by the private sector under an award after completion of a competitive sealed bidding or proposal process providing for effective date. Rip Sam, show cat.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, this bill is quite simple. It's put together to allow us. Has a $125,000 fiscal note given to Legislative Council to let us do a study this year in determining what areas in the state we can privatize or put out to bid, therefore reducing the quality or quantity of the services rendered, and do it in such a way that we can save the state money. There's a lot of backup material here that comes together from other states where we found areas where they've saved up to 40% and 50% of their budget by privatizing, by finding and locating areas within government that they can put out the bid. It is the intention of this study to put a situation together where the public agencies can also bid on the project. Therefore, if we found an activity within a single department, that department could bid on the continuation of that activity along with the private sector. The need for the study is solely for the purpose of determining if the Alaskan economy and the businesses in Alaska can provide a competitive bid for the services, or products rendered.
May I ask a question?
Rip Sam Greenberg.
The items, the entities listed on lines 9 and 10, 8, 9, and 10, are you aware whether any other entities have been left off? The Energy Authority or anything like that?
Mr. Chairman, no. Representative Greenberg. What we're trying to do is make this all encompassing with all state agencies.
I can see that. And what I'm wondering is like whether like the Alaska Energy Authority and groups like that have to be in there too, since you have the housing committee. There's some quasi-public entities that we have, and that's one that comes to mind. And it's just a question, it's a technical question, whether the drafter should just make sure that we have no limit.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative
Breckman.
I have a conflict of interest in the Alaska Railroad Corporation. But I also have a question.
Representative Breckman.
Thank you. The sponsor of this has you notified all these entities and talked to them, and also the Alaska Railroad Corporation is a quasi-governmental, under separate statute.
To the chair, Representative Breckman, the intent of this bill is to provide the funds to determine and look at what areas may be privatized. It's not the intent of the sponsor to leave out any portion of government or governmental agencies in terms of this study. It's our hopes that we can accurately identify areas that can be put out there, utilizing both the public and private sector in the terms of bidding, and in a method to reduce the cost of state government.
And Representative Choquette, you've indicated that studies performed by the private sector, by private individuals or entities, I don't see that government would be represented in the group. And but again, have you put out feeders to the University of Alaska, the railroad, and the Housing Finance Board.
Representative Bruckman, it's not the intent to put out feeders, it's the intent to provide some money to see if there are some areas that we can locate within all of these areas. There might very well be nowhere in the university, or there might very well be one or two areas that can be privatized to reduce money without reducing the quality, quantity, delivery, and interaction conditions.
You're saying goods and services, in other words, personnel, and big investors.
Yes.
Representative Grimmer?
I'd like to make a conceptual that we ask the sponsor and the drafter to just double check and make sure that we haven't omitted anybody on here. Because if we have, let's add them. That's my amendment. Okay.
We can do that, Mr. Chairman.
No objection. That'll be included. Why don't we just have the State Chamber of Commerce and the National Federation of Independent Businesses do this themselves? They'd probably do a better job of weeding out what they think they could do rather than the government doing it themselves, I tell you. Save us $125,000, and they have the business vested interest in finding every place that they could do a better business or cheaper than certainly we would ourselves.
Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that this is in line with what you're saying, a little bit ironic that we're paying government to make this study. Why not pay private enterprise? You know, the first bit of public money we're talking about is the money for the study. Why don't we?
Line six.
It's appropriated from the general fund to the Ledge Council. Ledge Council is government.
To pay for a study to be performed by private individuals.
I'm sorry.
Or entities.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Why do we have to pay for it? This would be advantageous to them. But it reminds me of the one we did now, Representative Newberg, on with the AML. On, that study about what
intergovernmental task force?
Yeah, the same thing. I mean, it just seems like this is something to benefit private business. What? Why doesn't private business put up on it?
Mr. Chairman, my intent is to get the legislature involved in this. For us to write a letter to Teresa Gerald with the independent businessman or the state chamber and say, please do a study that does this. We have no incentive that links the legislature into the objective. If we put this through Ledge Council, we're in a position to where we can just go right on through and work with the private sector. And we do have four or five people with a strong degree of expertise that have worked with other states on this very issue and that have proven to be quite successful. One of the areas that needs to be addressed in Alaska is obviously the union non-union situation within the agencies that provide the services. And these people have worked with that, have come up with compatible results. It's the intention of this bill to link the legislature, this body, with the private sector in determining what areas we can, in Alaska state government, put into a competitive situation and therefore reduce the cost of government without reducing any of the services or any of the quality or any of the contractual obligations.
Now, I support this. What this does is it provides some official standing rather than just having Commonwealth North or some group do it. I don't know how you came up with $125,000. That's something that finance can look at. But I do have one question. On line 8, it says to study, to determine which goods and services provided by the agencies can be provided by the private sector. I'm just sort of thinking this through a little bit. Do we want to limit it to output of state agencies, or do we want to also look at provided by or to the agencies? So we're talking, it may very well be that this study would come up with recommendations concerning the agencies, not only as producers, but also as consumers. Now, how do you feel about that?
I think that's fine. Representative Grunberg, also on line 10, after it says Alaska State Housing Authority, if we put in a line that said, and all other quasi or public authorities, that would take care of everything.
Yeah,
that you your concerns.
I would hope that you would come up with some language like that. I'll leave that up to you and the drafters. That's I would offer another thing in light of what Representative Choquette and I just said a minute ago. On line 8, to add after the word by and before the word the, by or to. So looking at them as consumers as well as producers, and I would move that as a second.
Are there objections to that amendment? Hearing none. Representative Breckman?
Thank you. Question to sponsor, Representative Choquette. Is it your intention to see if, for instance, Alaska Railroad should be sold to a private enterprise? Because there is separate legislation. It has been separate legislation. Study.
No, Representative, it's not my intention. My intention is to look at areas, as I stated, that the government provides a service and see if it can better be done on a competitive basis with the private sector.
Other questions from the committee? We do have someone testify. Do you need? Would you like to?
No, it's not necessary.
I don't think you probably yes. We'll keep you out of trouble. Representative Greenberg?
May I just ask a question? How did 125,000 does not seem like a typical round number. How did you come up with that?
Mr. Representative Greenberg, we came up with this by talking to some people that had completed these studies before. My original thought was something like this was probably going to take a couple hundred thousand. After talking with people, that you'll see some attached material by some of the people that have done this type of work, especially in working with the unions. And the $125,000 figure was a ballpark that would have been done in the past.
I assume it's your intent that this study would be performed by people in the state.
Actually, I don't know as though it would, Representative Greenberg. I think that could be possible if we can find the expertise for this area. Like I said, some of the key factors in this research is compatibility between the unions and state government. These people have worked and came up with equitable solutions in that type of a situation in the past with other states, and it just very well might be that this is a situation where you don't have the expertise in the state. Then again, we might have.
Okay. Do you want a motion?
Yeah. Any other discussion on this bill that I don't like so well?
Assuming that the people are agreeable with that first conceptual amendment, which is going to have to be.
That's accepted, and we also have your second one. Those are both included.
I asked that a CS be prepared for it.
And move the CS.
I move this. We adopt the CS. Okay. Incorporating those amendments.
We need to technically do that. If we've already included amendments, we can't just say as amendment. So we were wrong the way we did it last time.
Well, that's what they're going to do anyway. But it should technically be you do the amendments and then you say, I move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt a CS incorporated.
Is there any objection to the CS before us?
Oh, yes.
There is an objection?
I would like to get more feedback. I just want more feedback on this entire bill, which I don't see in here. You're going to get a CS and bring it back to the committee. You're holding it until the CS is presented.
Is that what you wanted?
I'm not going to move the bill unless everybody's comfortable. But we can still have a CS come back. And
let me put it to you this way. We have to go. We have another bill before us. I'm kind of leaning towards continuing this meeting later today.
Sure.
Let me think of that.
Okay.
All right, we'll order a CS for this and see if we can have it back this afternoon. What's a good time for this afternoon?
How long is our meeting going to take?
We'll figure at least another half hour.
What about 5 o'clock?
How about...
we got an international period of 5.
How about...
Thanks for reminding me.
How about after session?
After session.
Immediately after session?
Immediately after session.
15
like
minutes
that?
After session?
Yeah.
Dave?
That'll be fine by me.
See if you can get us a CS by then. Then we can deal with this bill some more, and we'll take up 288. So we are recessed. State Affairs Committee meeting. We were recessed. It is now 2:45. We had House Bill 300 before us. like to put House Bill 300 in a subcommittee.
I'd like to get rid of it.
You're out of order, Representative Bruckman.
She's always out of order.
I want to put House Bill 300 in a subcommittee of the whole, chaired by me. Is there any objection?
Negative. No objection.
Hearing no objections, House Bill 300 is in subcommittee. Committee CS for House Bill 300 went to subcommittee. Be debated. Is there objection to that?
Yes.
Records should show that we have Representative Moyer, Choquette, Bruckman, and Groomberg, and Kabina. Back on House Bill 300. Representative Choquette. Mm-hmm. Number one, this bill doesn't have a chance of passing. We're already doing fiscal dumps. Number two, I'm not sure. I agree with the what you want to get to, but I'm not. I don't think this is the way to go about it. And number three, could we talk about this over the interim? Representative Choquette.
Number one.
By the way, have we transmitted that other bill this morning yet?
Yes.
We have? Mm-hmm. It hasn't been read across the floor yet, so we can get that back.
Number one, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, yeah.
You want a motion?
Second.
Number one, Mr. Chairman.
This is politics.
The bill is no good if we can't get it out this year. We just as well kill it. It's a bill that deals with an appropriation. And number two, if I might continue without interruption, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Representative Choquette, you do have the floor.
Thank you. Number two, you're worried about the $125,000. Let's amend the bill, take the $125,000 off, and send it on its way.
I'm not worried about the $125,000. I'm worried. I don't think just setting up and saying you're going to do this this little study in the one paragraph thing is the way to go about doing this study and research. Come on, Dave.
All right. Who'd you put in the subcommittee?
Everybody. Because I wanted to make sure you were there.
No.
Wait. I detect a logical flaw.
Yeah, I don't wish to serve this.
You don't? No.
We'll just come back with another bill, Mr. Chairman, if this isn't acceptable to you.
Well, we can use this bill, Dave. However we want to deal with it.
I've made my points. I have nothing else to say.
May I make a suggestion?
That's in Cooper.
Why don't... Do we meet tomorrow? Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a session.
My suggestion would be that we hold the bill until the next session that you gentlemen talk about, and then make a decision, whatever you decide, Mr. Chairman. I don't think you need to necessarily.
He's got that right, Mr. Chairman. It will be your decision.
Well, I know what he wants, Representative Groomberg, and
This bill, Mr. Chairman, is in response to another possible area that we can meet the demands of our constituency to cut the budget. This is an area that's proven effective in seven other states. It's a rather new concept. It's something that works. I'm trying somehow, some way, to get something going on this year. Get something together that will allow us to take a good look at what we do have in Alaska that we can privatize or that we can work on to try and cut the budget. If the bill isn't written properly, I apologize because I wrote it the best way I could. If we had some funds available to us, to the legislature, to the legislative council, that we could put somebody to work to try and identify the areas in government that we can, that would be applicable to this concept. And that's just all I have to say, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your consideration of the bill. I think the administration could probably do a study like this, but I don't know how well it would be done.
I think I can think of three people we could detail to do it.
No
way. They don't seem to have anything else to keep them occupied. I mean, this is an efficiency study, you know, kind of thing they do well.
Well, Representative Choquette, I don't think just throwing this out to the Legislative Council is the way to deal with it. I think you need to have legislative involvement. You need to set up a committee that's going to have some control over what's going on, what they're actually looking for.
Mr. Chairman.
I think it's a lot more complicated process than writing a paragraph here and saying we're going to do a study.
Yeah. If I may, Max brought up something that just prompted this thought, and that is, if such a study, it's a pretty good one, Max. You ought to put it into the record. Read it into the record. Everyone else knows what you're laughing at. But,
only if it's televised.
But when you're conducting a study like that, it seems to me that when the contractor, whoever the council selects, goes around to the various state agencies, most of which are in the executive branch, in fact, it will make a difference, I think, if that person we're working for, not just the legislature, but some kind of joint try all three branches of government. I mean, I have to know how they react in the executive branch. Oh, a legislative study? You know, like dummy up. They're trying to whatever. And I just don't know if it's that practical to have one branch studying the other, all three of them, without some kind of, without having the blessing of all three branches.
Yeah, if we do the judicial branch, for example, we can look at out-of-state judges imported to provide service at lesser cost.
Do please have the CS that was before, so.
I don't have a CS.
No, there wasn't. We moved to CS earlier.
Right.
Oh, this.
Okay.
Oh, I moved. We adopted the CS for discussion.
It's already adopted. We just had it printed. Okay, the next on the agenda, House Bill 288, by Representative Moyer, an act relating to the giving of cash by public officers. Representative Moyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You might recall, March 23rd it was, in fact, an article in the paper which brought to light that this so-called white envelope practice occurs in some foreign countries, whereby it's expected by their customs and traditions that, for example, to receive favorable press treatment, you have to put money in a white envelope and you hand it over. And it's advice was given to the former Office of International Trade to do such. They were wise enough not to do so. They gave watches, I think, instead. Copy Mickey Mouse watches. And I don't have a problem with giving gifts. That is customary, but I think it should not include cash. There's too much abuse for cash. If we pass this bill, it would be a misdemeanor, punishable up to a year in jail, $5,000 fine, which certainly should serve as a deterrent. Also gives an out to the state employee in Korea, for example, ask for a cash envelope, and not only can you say we don't think it's a good idea, guess what? My country won't let me do it. My state won't let me do it. And we had, before I introduced it, some questions on the wording. It did not mean to prevent, for example, that we couldn't give a cash award to another state official for a bonus incentive. So we reworded that. I understand there's other concerns have arisen, and there are other instances when the state might indeed have to hand out cash for some reason or another. And I think it's real clear to everyone that we need to stop bribes. Everyone knows what bribes is. We just have to word it such in the bill that it says what we mean. I assume that's why Terry Bannister's here today. We don't want to stop prizes or even informants. Yes. Public safety has certain programs that most of us don't know much about, and they want it that way. Giving out cash and informants, sting operations and such. There are legitimate purposes for which the state does hand out cash. I'm not concerned about legitimate ones. I'm concerned about illegitimate ones. End of presentation, Mr. Chairman.
Is there anyone to testify in this bill?
I can speak for the Commerce Department. We have
came up in international trade and tourism committee meeting with the Commerce Department official present. They said they would most definitely support this legislation.
Where did this bill have a hearing in?
No, the idea came up in front of our committee, but this is the bill's first committee referral.
This bill needs a fiscal note.
I have a question.
Doesn't have a fiscal note?
Still needs a fiscal note. Yes. Representative Gruber.
It's zero, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, what we're talking about here.
Excuse me, please. Representative Gruber.
It was the advertising agency, the Hackney firm, that was talking about having to do this. Public officer wouldn't, as written, include those kinds of people because they're not state employees, they're not legislators, they're not members of boards or commissions, and they're nothing that's defined. They're not public officers, they're not state agencies. They're at most under a contract. So what you really want to do is to either prevent them from doing it or prevent them from using state money. We amended last year, you may remember, Mr. Chairman, a bill to amend the bribery statute because of a Court of Appeals decision that didn't include, it said, it redefined state employees in the criminal code to include people who were employees of contractors with the state. It was a very similar type deal. Remember that the issue was whether the factual setting of the case was that there was a contract to provide counseling for inmates, and it was a contract with an agency, some unnamed agency. And the allegation was that an employee of the agency had said, I will write a favorable report for you, Joe inmate, if you give me X dollars. The Court of Appeals reversed the conviction and said that was not covered under the statute because it covered, the way the statute was written, it covered state employees and state contractors, but not employees of state contractors. So we had to amend it to include that. And so, unless this is written exactly right, you won't get at the situation involving the ad agency.
No, and I don't think there was an ad, correct me if I'm wrong, there's no intent to get at any private industry here, even though that is one of the complaints, but merely to take the heat off any government people, our people, that would...
Well, then my question is, if people are concerned about the use of state money in Korea or elsewhere for payoffs, or state contractors or employees of contractors using, while acting as representatives of the state or in furtherance of state interests, then you not only need to cover this, but you need to cover that too.
It was Mr. Chairman, I induced a bill to stop state employees from this practice in 1990. The first instance was 89. In 90, they didn't retain the consulting firms, they did it themselves, set up the trade show, not bribes. And they wisely chose not to. And this, of course, will prevent them from doing so. I particularly have a problem with trying to stop a contractor using state money in this practice.
So you wouldn't have any problem with that advertising firm giving money?
No, I would. I don't have a problem with your comments.
Because I would.
You would what?
I agree with you. I would have problems with them doing that. I thought that was something we shouldn't do.
I don't have a problem with clients and private concerns if they're using state money.
And number two,
I would entertain a conceptual amendment.
I think the other thing, number two, is I think that in addition to any other, you would make a Class A misdemeanor. In addition to that, that whoever does it should be required to reimburse the state for the money they've given.
Well,
okay.
Point on that, Mr. Chairman, Representative Moyer. As a public officer, me as state employee, state agency employee, state legislator, member of a state board or commission. As a state legislator, I might very well want to sell widgets in Japan. As a businessman, I know that in order to get the Japanese press to come to look at my widgets, I've got to put $100 in a white envelope as a businessman, not as a legislature. Therefore, I think that number two, if this is, it should be while conducting state business, not while I'm over there selling widgets or while I'm, just because I'm a member of a state board or commission, it's not my primary point of employment.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. Perhaps if we get Terry come up, she can give us some of the ins and outs. And
international bribery.
We may inadvertently apply to them. We may not need to.
I'm Terry Bannister. I don't know about the ins and outs, but I was just noticing on the bill that this applies while a person's carrying out the function of the public of their office as a public officer.
That?
It's right at the beginning. So that would seem to address your concern.
Thank you for reading the bill.
We needed a lawyer.
We got one.
No, that's the problem. We got one. That's why we need another one to counteract him.
We sort of travel with pairs so we can argue.
Don't strike that.
Rep. Sandberg.
Let me ask.
By the way, I do say that I'm a very immense, very. I don't have much time here, so.
I have to leave at 3:15.
Well, I have to leave before then.
Okay.
But
I have to leave before then.
I'd move the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Well, is the bill good in its form?
Conceptual amendment.
Representative Grunberg?
Let me just ask a question. Let us say that we are over in Sodom or Gomorrah. And, you know, this is the practice. And to get anything done, you've just got to bribe everybody. And I've been in the Navy and it's in some certain unnamed island off the coast of a large continent that was populated by a popular general. You had to bribe your way to do anything. You absolutely had to live just by bribery. We had to get our shipping, we had to bribe, come to the coast. This may absolutely prevent the state from conducting business. The real question is, on an international scale, and you're the international chair and you're the state affairs chair, do we want to allow our people to do as the Romans do?
How about, except in unusual circumstances?
I agree with the bill myself. I don't think we should be spending state dollars.
Yeah.
Not, you know, if it's
if it's
another country's custom to, share your wife or secretaries or houseboys, are we going to fall into
boyfriends?
What their
I think you're out of order,
are.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, my point is that
strike that.
We don't do those things in America, and our customs should follow us as public officials to other countries.
Well put, Mr. Chairman. I mean, it's a policy call, no doubt. And it's not the American way to do business. And I think that we should be a shining example. And if it means we can't do business in some countries without it, so be it. I wonder what's happening in Kuwait, though.
Is there, are there any amendments to the bill? Rep. Sandberg.
Well, should we do that conceptual amendment?
Would you please state the amendment in amendment form for me, please? I don't know what the amendment is.
I forgot what it was.
That's what I thought. Agree
the bill?
There is a motion to move.
Wait.
No.
Quickly.
You had it. You've
got it in the tissue.
It was
so
applied to people who use state money.
Sometimes
well.
I think I'm losing control of my committee.
It's
just
like
today, because of Refresque with dinner and the floor all day. The conceptual amendment was to include.
The problem is that we're going to have a real hard time on my staff to type the minutes on this the way we're going. So let's keep some
water.
Rep. Sandler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The conceptual amendment was to also exclude the use of state money by a subcontract, whatever the correct phrase is, and also to require that anyone convicted pay back the sum they expended.
Yeah, there were two different amendments. Number one was to include. Contractors and employees of contractors. That's a conceptual amendment.
What was that?
To include contractors with the state and employees of contractors.
No, but we're talking about the use of state money only.
Right.
Only state money.
And
they can't
state.
Bill us back for it. They can do it themselves.
Right.
But they can't bill us for it.
Right. That's the first conceptual
amendment.
Is there objection to that amendment?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I went through a lot of this with my procurement bill. And the objection is simply this. Sometimes you have to make allowances for how it's done overseas. Now, I go with the cash bit, and I've spoken that with Representative Moyer, because there's some beautiful Alaskan gifts that could be passed out and still get them to come to the ball. But when we start restricting contractors and subcontractors, I have some concerns.
But Mr. Chairman, what Max is saying is, when it's on our dime, we should be restricted. If it's their dime, it can be Roman.
We're not even talking about them charging the state for it. Is there objection to the amendment?
Object.
There is objection to the amendment. Okay. Voice count on the amendment? Representative Grunberg?
Yes.
Baker?
No.
Choquette?
No.
Moyer?
Yes.
Kamina? Yes. Representative Grunberg?
The second thing was to amend Section C of Line 10 to require restitution to the state of any money so expended.
Is there objections to the amendment? Hearing no objections, amendment number two is
Mr. Chairman,
accepted.
Representative Choquette wanted to simply, under public officer, say state agency, I guess, even.
No, that's.
Just legislator?
No,
that's one time. It says while carrying out the functions of a public officer's position.
Line 4 and 5.
So that has nothing to do with Representative Linebaker, and I need to challenge.
I have another amendment.
Same amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate it. Why do you have Section 3? I don't see a reason to repeal this thing. If this is good law to keep it.
I don't know.
Terry?
Oh. That repealer is because the incentive award program that's referenced in B, subsection B, is repealed. On that
day. Well, now, then, if they ultimately extend the incentive awards program, then they will have to repeal the repealer. It seems to me that this simply allows this while we have an incentive awards program. If that law is repealed, then that'll be it would seem to me nullified. Is this the normal drafting style that you would put a repealer like this in?
Yeah, but I mean, we can do anything you need to do with it.
Well, but
I
would.
I suppose we could make a contingent on the repeal of B. I mean, if B is in fact repealed on July 1st, then
yeah.
This section is.
I think we should do that. So I offer a conceptual amendment.
You want to delete Section 3?
The language will be if the incentive awards. Program is repealed, then, well, I think, frankly, that you don't need anything, Terry, because if there are no longer incentive awards under 3951, that's de facto repealed.
I'm not sure what this, in fact, I mean, it wouldn't apply. It probably is just something to assist the revisor.
Why don't you, can't you just flag it in your computer?
Well, I can ask the revisor if that's the way to do it.
I would ask that you ask the revisor, and if the revisor suggests an amendment there, that we put it in, because I don't think you need it. I think Dave Dierdorf could pick that up. Or you just draft it accordingly. I could offer a conceptual amendment that you work with the revisor if it was necessary.
Move the bill?
Well,
I move the amendment.
Is this something that you can do today, Terry?
Move something?
Are you, Representative Moyer, do you have a. Well, this has got two more referrals. You're obviously not going to get this bill passed this year.
No, I'm not close to the bed here.
Is this your top priority of the year? Or?
I think it's important. It's serious business.
But it's okay.
Is it as
you're saying if you want to hold it another day to do this.
No, I'm just saying that she needs to check before we get a CS back. Then, when you give us a CS back, we'll know what you found out by how the CS looks.
Yeah, but on that point.
Okay, on that point.
So she'll prepare a CS and we'll have it back.
No. I'll move the bill. I'm gonna ask the CS come before us as amended right now, and move the bill out of there.
Without us seeing the CS.
Was that not?
Are we on the 24-hour rule?
Eric?
I'm not sure I caught all of the First Amendment.
I think it was.
Oh, well, Mary will have it.
It's free speech.
Okay.
I think we can see the CS.
Would you tell us when you're not gonna be here, so we can see it all?
Yeah. This has been a bad day, hasn't it?
Max, go sit on judiciary, see the CS there.
All right, whatever you guys want. I would like to see the CS.
I'll second the motion.
No, we'll have the CS before.
I don't even know what the motion is.
See, nobody even knows what the CS is gonna look like, guys. It was a lousy policy to pass a bill out. But I don't care if we need it.
I agree with Max.
Excuse me, you're out of order.
This is a lousy policy.
It's the first thing you said.
No, I was telling him out of order.
Oh, good.
He just spoke at the same time. The amendments are approved as the motion was made, and we'll have the CS before us tomorrow, Friday.
I don't have a problem with being here.
I do. You guys wouldn't take so long on the floor while we could have.
Jeez. Don't blame me.
Hey, bud. Did I say anything today?
No, it hasn't been me and Tom. We didn't say a word today.
You were thinking a lot, huh?
I jumped up twice, but I sat back down.
Can we go?
No, I could ask you guys something. There's another issue that is before us, and it's on an ethics complaint against the governor. The problem is this. We had a nomination before us for the personnel board. There's an ethics complaint against the governor. It's heard by... Let's go off record. Stand on recess.
What's ethics?
No, the ethics thing didn't. The personnel board did. And so, paper asked us because we were the ones that...
Motion to amend the...
No, not for us. The next meeting of the House State Affairs Committee will be Friday, May 10th. At this time, we'll be hearing HB 198 relating to legislative sessions to be held in Madison Borough. Please be prepared for a nice debate.
Is that going to be teleconference? Is that going to be teleconference?
Is it?
I haven't had any request for it.
Are you requesting it?
Oh, no, I was just asking the question.
Nobody,
I didn't ask.
Nobody's asked for it to be teleconference yet. House Bill 308 relating to adoption of emergency regulations.
Is that the one?
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to make a request.
Yes.
Let's make a request. I'd like to put my amendment before you on that bill.
That's okay, I'm done. Thank you.
And I'd like to invite the Lieutenant Governor.
We're on tape and we're trying to talk.
I would like to invite the Lieutenant Governor.
How was that, Dave?
Yeah.
Go get that.
I'm out of here.
Matt?
You're going to want to stay and hear this. This deals with the adoption of regulations, notice requirements of regulations. And I would like to invite the Lieutenant to lay that amendment on the table in front of this committee, and I'd like to invite the Lieutenant Governor to testify.
Well, we have sent the Lieutenant Governor a letter asking him to come on the amendment for the previous bill, and the Lieutenant Governor elected to ignore the request.
I would like to suggest a second letter. To suggest that we invite him to confirm within 24 hours his intent to accept the invitation, or the committee would entertain a motion for a subpoena.
Well, Max, that's going away. I don't know, buddy. I'm
very concerned about this regulation czar. I think that's illegal. And I think it's up to this committee's purview, and I think it's time we do something.
Mr. Chairman, you're going to have to give a ruling on this. I asked for one yesterday.
And I gave one. And
what
I gave
say?
One, and I wish the next time you asked me for a ruling, you would stick around for the meeting so that you can hear
what
how things
were. What did you say
cool.
yesterday?
Well, you can look it up in a minute, Mr. Chairman. Right now we're discussing House Bill 308.
This is something that we have talked about before. I am concerned about what is going on there with respect to
don't
the...
Don't leave yet. Don't you leave. Back over here.
I'm concerned about what's going on with the regulations. And I'm concerned about the fact that an invitation from this committee has been ignored, and I want to pursue it. We have legal, two legal opinions on the subject.
Is that a motion?
Max.
Yes, it's a motion.
How do you know it's been ignored and just been slipped through the cracks?
Okay, it hasn't been responded to.
Rather than doing that, why don't we do this? Why don't you contact the Lieutenant Governor's office between now and when we hear the bill on Friday? Invite him down, tell him, see what happens, and then bring it up to the full committee at that time to do that.
I'm willing to do it. I think we would have much more weight to make than the chair. And I'm willing to make a motion.
Well, the chair committee did send him a letter.
Yes, but it's very unusual for, you know, there was a request on behalf of this committee for it should be officially followed up on behalf of this committee. That's why I'm making
it. Well, the one problem I have is it's very unusual for the legislature to receive subpoenaing of the executive branch of the government. That's the lieutenant governor also. And, you know, I haven't seen a ruling on that. I mean, something that's going to be part of your motion, I want to see legal opinion that says we can do that and some kind of precedent that it's happened before.
I can tell you it happened. I did it when I was co-chair of the Judiciary
Committee. You're a tough sucker.
That's right. And we got them there. It worked.
You did it to the lieutenant governor or the governor?
I did it.
Was it lieutenant governor or governor?
No.
Well, see, this is...
Well, do you want to hear what I did, or am I just allowed to answer yes or no?
That's all. I wanted to move on. I wanted to be out of here 20 minutes ago.
Well, you're the person that set this thing on Friday. What I'm saying, Mr. Chairman, is we had a circumstance that we had invited every committee, I mean every department, to submit certain documents to us. Every department except one did. And we took a motion.
Okay.
And if they didn't respond by a certain date, we would entertain a subpoena.
Well, if you're talking about the Division of Elections, is there a division for regulation review?
No, it is. He is the equivalent of a department head. That's his job. He is simply the person who files. He's the repository. It's like the state archives refusing to accept it.
Let me put it this way. I'm not going to subpoena the lieutenant governor unless it comes through the caucus. I'm not going to do it.
Well, then that's the end of the matter. Because he won't be here.
And let me tell you why. You know, it's one thing to stand out there and take all these grandiose stands on things that mean a lot. But it's another thing to stand up for something that it means a lot to the organization and everybody involved, and not just myself or you or somebody, some few individuals. And if this is something that the caucus does feel strongly about, if the caucus wants something, then I feel like I've got direction. But I, to be honest with you, I just don't want to... I don't feel comfortable doing it, Max, at all.
Okay, then it's the end of the matter. But
you're the majority leader, and if you feel strongly about this, why don't we bring it up in caucus and debate the issue?
Fine, I have no problem. It's just a practice that is going to have lots of problems. It's going to affect every department in this government. It's going to be squarely within the jurisdiction of this committee. But
a lot of times, you will have a lot more success instead of trying to head things off before they happen, to let them happen, let them get screwed up, so that you become the hero in correcting things rather than being looked at as an obstructionist before something ever happens.
I think he may have already done it and started doing it. It's your choice,
Mr. And certainly your amendment, you know, is perfectly appropriate. I ruled on that on the last bill. Rule on it on this bill?
It's not my, it's really not my desire to do the amendment. My desire is to stop this practice, which is illegal. And I've talked to other members who feel strongly, but it is your choice. I think sometimes if something's going on that's illegal and that is a problem, you either do something about it or it happens. And I'm suggesting we do something about it, but that's wrong. I haven't heard anybody defend it. I'm just saying that if he doesn't show,
I don't need to say much about it. I mean, the practice certainly bears some scrutiny in my view. And talk about whistleblower laws, I've off the record heard some commissioners express extreme reticence about having to go through the lieutenant governor, but they're not going to say that in this committee or in the public. far as painting, we know that it's rare to have the governor come down here, one lieutenant governor, commissioners all the time. Sure, we could subpoena him, but I think that's a very drastic last course, a piece of action.
I'm not sure we could subpoena him. I'm not sure that he couldn't say it's an executive privilege, you know, privilege, you don't have the right to subpoena.
That could be easily answered. My point is, if you wanted to come down here and discuss this, I think we would owe him another letter or another call, something to say, we really want you down here, and by the way, if, you know, we want you so bad here, we might even consider looking into whether we can subpoena you to get the message before you just go in and slap him.
Well, that's all I'm suggesting. I hope you understand that. I was suggesting no more than what you've said. I'm suggesting that we send him a letter and simply invite him back and say, you know, this is the second letter we've sent. We didn't have a response to the first one. And if you don't, I mean, I would say if you don't, then we'd consider a motion for a subpoena. That, whether you add that in there or not is up to you. But I think that it's very unusual for you to request an executive agency to respond to something and you don't get the courtesy of a response.
Well, I certainly agree with the departments, but two particular people that are elected statewide.
I don't think that makes any difference. In this particular case, he is simply the filer of a regulation. That's his only function. Well, you file it in that office.
Okay, but it's sort of like, it's different, but it's got some similarities to the issue from yesterday. You know, if he's doing something illegal, somebody should file a lawsuit, even if it's the Democratic majority that does it.
Well, that may be an ultimate result of this. What I'm trying to do is to stop a lawsuit before it starts. I'm saying that maybe if we had an oversight.
Why don't you go up and sit down with him as a lawyer and the majority leader and sit down in his office and talk to him about once and see what comes out of it.
I'm sorry. That's it. Your choice.
You know, and if you don't, at least you got something to go from him, you know? If he just says, stick it up to your command, it's none of your business, why?
It's up to you. It's clear that you don't want to do it, so let's move past it.
Can we be excused, Mr. Chairman? Myself and my bladder. What's it, bladder?
Well, any further business to come from the committee?
Right.
Was there a motion from the committee that is being pursued?
I'm not going to make a motion. I may not use
it. Hearing on 308 will be in front of us on Friday.
I would make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
We'll also be hearing House Bill 155 relating to barrier-free remodeling fund, House Bill 157 relating to the appropriation of a barrier-free remodeling fund, HGR 41 relating to MIA, POWs, and American Service.